Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. Today on the show, comedian Cynthia Levin talks about cheating her way through school.
When it came test day in school, I had to cheat. You know, and I was an actress. Always an actress. You know. And so I was really good at pretending like I was working and, you know, taking a test. And so I was just like, I would look at like, you know, look like, oh, wow, this is so hard. Put my hand over my forehead. God, this is really difficult. And then I'd be peering over at the smart person that I chose to sit near on purpose, you know, to copy them. And it was funny because I never, ever, ever took a test by myself in my entire life.
Today on the show, comedian Cynthia Levin talks about cheating her way through school. Stay close.
Hey, this is Cynthia Levin, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from Los Angeles, California. Whether you're a longtime fan of the show or a new listener, welcome to Storyworthy. I hope you guys had a chance last week to listen to Dan Nitro Clark. Did you hear Dan Clark last week?
I didn't hear that one. I've been listening to a bunch of other ones, so
thank
I didn't
you. Thank you. Dan Clark was an American gladiator.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, my first gladiator on the show.
And how did he look?
He looks good, man.
Yeah.
Of course. He looks great. He looks great.
How old is he?
He was also, I think he's like 54.
Uh-huh.
I think he was also, oh, I know he was in the
NFL. Is he single?
In the NFL. No, he has a girl. Well, he has a girlfriend.
Of course he does, sure.
But a great guy. And yeah. He tells a story about 23andMe. You know that site where you send away? Yeah. So he got these results back. And there is, at the top of the page, not only like somebody who might be his fourth cousin or third cousin or second cousin or first cousin, but there's somebody who lives close to him who has 50% of his DNA.
Wow.
So that means he has a child.
You know how I didn't figure that out? I'm like, huh?
Yeah. So that's all I'm going to say about it. Because now you guys have to go back and listen to Dan Nitro Clark talk about this.
Really interesting.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, you're going to leave me dangling, though, because you're not going to tell me what happens.
And honestly, it's also very funny. So there you go. But don't go anywhere today, you guys, because today I am here with comedian Cynthia Levin, and it is surprising that I haven't had you on here before.
I know. I just keep moving, so I think people don't even know I'm in town, and they're like, so how was Chicago? I'm like, well, I was living in London for 4 years after that.
Are you in New York?
Yeah, exactly. So I was in New York for 6 years. And
so are you like quad coastal, or how do you say that?
Well, I have no idea. All those places matter to me. I think I try to go back to each place because there is a bit of home in each place, mostly obviously because of the people, you know, and also familiarity of terms of like how to get around and,
well, you
know,
have
that
friends.
Kind of stuff.
You have friends in those cities.
100%. So, yeah.
And those cities you kept moving around because it was about comedy or about theater?
No. Neither.
It was about
being miserable in Los Angeles.
I see.
Yes. That's really what always... It was like, I love Chicago, but I think I had divine intervention by an abusive boyfriend that said, hey, let's move to LA. You know, he was sickening and it was a horrific experience, but it was what got me out here.
Yeah.
That and my friend Rusty saying, Cynthia, you should move out to LA. You know, there's nobody out here like you. And turned out it was true and unfortunate because I had, you know, anyway, moving forward.
Well, but, no, not unfortunate.
Well, I know you think that. No, because I didn't connect. I didn't relate. I hated it here. But I mean, every experience I had here was so bad that all I could do was say it's about LA. Plus, I'm looking at something that I find ugly and I'm having a bad experience. But it was all, I mean, for the most part, it's still ugly here. Let's not play games.
Wait, what don't you like looking at?
Anything.
Come on.
No.
Well,
I'm from Chicago.
Right.
I love the lake. I love beautiful architecture. Right. I mean, those things really matter to me, right? Those two things. I love the food. I love the grass. I love trees. Here's a different type of topography.
Right.
You know, it's a bit drier.
Different. It's southern.
Yeah. Even sometimes when the leaves dry, they have a smell to them. I'm like, ugh, what is that? You know, it's like, you know what I mean? Just things like that. But again, if you're miserable and then you're smelling shit that you go, what the fuck is that? You're like, am I allowed to swear? Okay.
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
I find that if you're in the cold and then because I'm from Pittsburgh, if you're back there and you're depressed, you're in a lot of trouble because there's no vitamin D in the air.
I get that, but I never felt light. That way. Because I never, even, I was living in London, I lived in New York, I lived in Chicago. Yeah, I never got depressed in the winter months. That didn't bother me. I actually love change. I love weather. I love actually pain. I know that sounds nuts.
Yeah.
But I like to feel cold. I like, oh yeah, that's exciting. You know what I mean? It makes me laugh.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Living in LA has to be better than being beat in Chicago.
Beat? What do you mean beat?
Well, weren't you, you said...
Beaten?
Yeah. You said it was a boyfriend who was violent.
Yeah. To be beaten here or there, it was worse here.
You're lying.
I'm not lying.
It does seem very hard to believe that you were a victim of domestic abuse.
Because I'm such a visually beastly woman.
Christ.
No, go on. It's fine. Go
you
on.
You could say it. You're so strong. No, but you're such a strong, your presence on stage. Okay, Cynthia Levin is one of the original, I think they call them the girls of the Comedy Store.
Right, yeah.
Because it was in the mid-90s, you were passed at the store.
Right.
And you became one of the women that worked there regularly.
Right.
And so I'm just saying from that standpoint, as a comedian, especially female comedian back then, you obviously have a lot of confidence. You have a lot of balls. You wouldn't be on stage otherwise.
Right. I appreciate that. And I'll tell you what it is. It's very interesting. Women, people think that women who are beaten or victimized in one way or another are weak, right? But the reality is that men only attack people they feel threatened by. People only attack people they feel threatened by. And I would not have been able to understand that back then, but I totally get it now. Like any time that I challenged him, that's when he would turn on me, you know? I mean, challenged at all. And then I would try to fight back either verbally or physically because I did not, I mean, I would lose.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was a bodybuilder.
Wow.
264 pounds. You remember the Barbarian Brothers? Do you remember those guys?
Nobody
knows them but me, unfortunately, because I lived in that bodybuilding world with him.
But I did have a gladiator in here.
Right,
last
exactly.
Week.
So you know what they look like, yes. Right? So they're big people.
Yeah.
And so he was, you know, 6'2", bodybuilder, 264 pounds. And I always thought I would, you know, compete with that, you know, only because I was, you know, so anyway, but it started from my childhood. I mean, I was, you know, I had to really get tough. I was, you know, abused as a kid. So I had to keep... You get whatever's familiar to you is what you're drawn
to.
Yeah,
that's the pattern you know.
That is exactly.
You know the outcome. 100. So for that reason, it's safe because you know what's coming.
Well, you didn't. And when I met him, do you think that he said, "Hey, I hit people. Do you want to go out?" I'm like, he didn't say that.
Right.
You just sort of you kind of go, "Oh, this is a familiar energy. He likes me. He's you know, and he's kind of a muscular dude, and he likes me. I'm so lucky, right?
He protects me.
Well, I don't know about that. I just think it wasn't even that. It was just like. You know, like, hey, this is a bodybuilder. Oh, he was bouncing at a club. Let's work it that way.
Yeah.
Right? So,
you were like enamored.
We can't even go that far.
Yeah.
He just said, hey, we know the same person. And I was like, oh, yeah. And then you must be the one. I'm not shitting you. Like, that's all I needed. You know what I'm saying? There was no, wow, you are a stunner or nice thighs. Do you know what I mean? It was just, yeah.
You and I have so much in common. We're both one of six children.
Right, right.
And so, and I know I'm the very youngest. You have somebody younger
Yes,
under you.
I do, yeah.
But still, we're about the same age. We're one of six kids. So I know what you mean by, like, basically we're ignored. Nobody said, how was your test? Nobody said, how were your grades?
Right.
Nobody said,
right.
I remember we would take that eye exam at school, and every year I would fail, and I'd take the paperwork home to my mom, and I'd say, you know, I can't see, and they'd say, well, that's, you know, what can I tell you? I don't even think they said that. The point is, when I went to get my driver's license, I was 15, you know, get my learner's permit, and they're like, you're blind as a bat, and I'm like, I've been telling them, but nobody heard me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then I got glasses. But the point
is
that I think that when you come from an upbringing of, you know, you have to be on fire to get any attention, when you can get attention from a guy, it's like, whoa, blammo. So I personally had a lot of boyfriends myself, and I thought that if they like me, well, then that's that. Because they picked me.
Right.
So I guess I'll go there.
Right, exactly. It's, you know, and I mean, to this day, I think if anybody glances at me, like at the gym or something like, I'm like, all right, this is on, right? And then he comes over and goes, do you know how to work this machine? And then his girlfriend comes over,
did she tell you? Did she tell you how to work the machine?
I'm like, you know, like, and I wish I was like even exaggerating a little bit. That is exactly what happens. So I'm still desperate, which is so sickening. So sickening.
Your comedy is so smart and so funny. I was watching a set of yours at the Improv. It's about 11 minutes long.
Yeah.
And you do one tiny segment about drinking tea, a cup of tea.
Oh, uh-huh.
There's barely any words. Mm-hmm. It's just you pantomiming drinking a cup of tea.
Yeah.
And it is the funniest damn thing I've ever seen.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
Does some of that have to do with your acting ability and your ability as an acting coach, like to see all those details in something like making a cup of tea when you're not even speaking?
I think that I have been... It has nothing to do with my acting background whatsoever. It literally has to do with, as a kid, I always saw things in animation. So, like, I would see something, and the next thing you know, my brain sees it in the total extreme and the ridiculousness of it, and I get mad at it. It's like, you know how we get in, like, something pisses you off, I immediately, or scared, or whatever, immediately, everything just gets blown up, and I see everything in animation. And so then, physically, as a kid, I would act everything out. I would, like... You know, if I was telling a story or whatever it is, I was, you know, Felicity, I was trying to keep friends.
Yeah.
Let's not be ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know.
It's true. The surefire way to make friends is to tell stories.
Yes.
And to be animated.
Yes.
But it seems like your movements on stage, you're almost like taking cartoon frame by cartoon frame.
Yeah.
Every little frame
yes.
of the cartoon.
Yes.
So you have like 15 beats in putting a tea bag
yeah.
in a cup.
Right.
And then
right.
you start stirring it and you start doing that. Like the clack of
right.
the spoon or whatever.
Yeah.
When I was a flight attendant, the people that ordered hot tea,
yeah.
I hated them
the most.
Of course
you did. Yeah. They're sickening.
Because they have to have a cup and they have to have a tea bag and they have to have a fucking
what
lemon.
What kind of tea do you have?
What do you have another honey packet?
Yeah.
And then
so
it's got the wrong sugar
yes.
and the wrong cream.
Unbelievable.
And they need seven things for one cup of tea.
Stupid.
And God forbid
exactly.
you put the water in first because they will cut you.
Exactly. It's true. And I, you know, I waitressed for 17 years.
Yeah.
And the thing that made me sickest was the tea people.
Yeah.
Because, and I did in my movie that I wrote initially, Unprepared for Life, was about, like, one of the scenes is, me having to go over, being trained by this woman named Esther. And she's like, let me tell you something about the people who order tea. Those sons of bitches. You got to go over there with a goddamn, you know, display case. What kind of tea do you want, you asshole? You know, and they can't decide. You have to watch them decide. And then you got to go back over there over 15 times. How many weapons water can you pour on a sandbag? It's a bag of sand, bitch. There's nothing in there. You know, because they're so cheap, too. They will not, like, order another tea bag, which is,
right.
you know.
Or they'll just ask for hot water.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
they still need the little pot, and they still need
everything.
The,
it's
and
endless.
Then they'll bring their own tea bag,
they'll,
but they don't
exactly.
want you to charge them for anything.
No, no, of course
Because
not.
They brought their own bag.
There's nothing more sickening. All these condiments that have to go
we
into
so
us, and then watching
common.
You blow and sip and dollop and, you know, all that
yeah.
suck. You know what I mean? Like, that's why, because I think all my act outs come from rage against tedium, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
if something's tedious to me, I'm going to snap necks. And you
yeah.
know what I mean? And so that's where
I
it comes from.
I know what
from.
You mean. Yeah. People eating can get very tedious.
Yeah.
You know, I remember my mother would smash peas with the back of her fork.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And if I saw that, well, I wouldn't eat for a week and a half. That's it. I'm just not eating. I'm done.
It's hilarious.
Listen.
How long did you... We're a flight attendant for?
I was a flight attendant for 7 years.
Oh, my God.
A little over 7 years.
What airlines are you allowed
to say? It was
called
U.S. Air.
Oh, I've heard of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes people call it U.S. Scare.
They've been absorbed, haven't they?
I think many times over. Many times over. There's a huge airport in Pittsburgh that's sort of sad because they built it for the airline, and then the airline, like, pulled out of the whole city. And so now there's this huge airport, and
right.
50%, only, like, 50% is being used.
Oh,
it's
wow.
really,
that is really
yeah.
weird.
Anyway,
yeah,
the good old days.
Yeah.
And now, listen, I got to tell you something. First of all, I was carded last week at Trader Joe's.
For?
I was carded for alcohol.
Really?
No, yeah, man. And they weren't blind. They were an employee.
Uh-huh.
And now and then, especially if I have a baseball cap on,
okay.
and before they look in my eyes,
yeah.
they might say, do you have ID?
Oh, interesting.
The point is, nobody believes how old I am.
Uh-huh.
That's my point.
Okay.
I'm 84 years
okay.
old.
Okay, I can't believe it.
But one of the things is, I'm not kidding you, I use this particular skincare product. It's kind of a cult brand now. It's called Elemis. Have you heard of this, Elemis?
I have not.
It's actually has an award-winning line of products. Now listen, there's one product in particular that is not only my favorite, but this is the one that everybody talks about globally. No kidding. It's won a bunch of awards and it's always given a shout out by beauty editors for its amazing anti-aging properties. And it is called Pro Collagen Marine Cream. Mm. Pro Collagen Marine Cream. It is clinically proven to reduce the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles in just 14 days, if you can believe that. They sell one product every 8 seconds. Can you believe that?
No.
That's kind of interesting, isn't it?
That's kind of amazing.
And it's gotten hundreds of 5-star reviews by talking about how amazing and light it is. It feels really, just really good on your skin. It moisturizes. And honestly, people can see a difference in just a few weeks. You too may be carded, Cynthia Levin. You heard me. Mm. Now, the secret to this cream, no kidding, it's seaweeds. That's what's in it. Mm. And lots of them. Elemis is known for harnessing the power of science and nature, in particular seaweeds and algae, if you can believe that, to make serious skincare that gives you results. Now, listen, you guys, you can try before you buy, and that way you won't be disappointed. So just head over to elemis.com/US/storyworthy to sign up and claim a sample of their best-selling Pro Collagen Marine Cream for just $10. Now, that includes the shipping, yes, because it's worth $45.
Yeah.
It includes the shipping. It's only $10, you guys. Head over to elemis.com/US/storyworthy or just click on the show notes on the podcast. Again, it's elemis.com/US/storyworthy and start using the face cream that I use and probably one of the reasons why I get carded.
Right on.
Yeah, I'm not kidding you.
Yeah.
Do you use a lot of face cream?
I do.
There's something else we have in common. Not only do we have in common face cream.
Right.
but your topic today, Cynthia, cracks me up. Cheating my way through school. Because honestly, I cheated so much that I'm not proud of
it. Why do you think you cheated?
I know why I cheated, because I didn't care. I just knew I had to get through. I have all the older siblings like you do.
Yeah.
And I saw each of them go on the same path. They got through the same high school. We all went to the same high school. And then my father worked at this university in Pittsburgh, Duquesne University. So I knew I was going there because all my siblings did. We went with no tuition.
Right, exactly.
So I knew the path. So like even the only reason why I took the SATs, I didn't even know they were coming up.
Right, of
course. My mom's like, I'm dropping you off at the high school. You know, you have to do this test. Get your name on it. You have, you know, have to have a result. I scored an 860 on the SATs.
And that's good, right?
That's like a 55%.
Oh, that's not good.
I'm probably wrong, but it's really, really low.
It's really low.
An 860.
And you did that by yourself? You took it by yourself?
I took it by myself.
No, what are you, stupid?
Halfway through it, I just started filling in the dots.
Okay.
I just started making patterns in the dots.
Yeah.
I got 55%.
Right, right.
I got half right.
Right, which is pretty good.
Anyway, but they let me into the school because I knew I would get into school.
Yeah, so but for people, you know, to grow up in a, you know, with a father who's, you know, education is important.
Yeah.
I'm kind of amazed that, I mean, although my dad was a doctor, you know, infectious disease doctor, I was very detached from that. I was like the total opposite. I was like the artist. My dad used to say I talk like a David Mamet play, you know what I mean? Because I swore all the time from the time I was like 4. I was swearing my head off.
Where do you think you got that language at that time?
Anywhere. I mean, like, I would just, like, search for it. I would, like, search for, like...
But it wasn't on TV and it wasn't on the radio.
No. I don't know. I have no idea.
Your family members, did they all play cards, poker?
No. No. No, we're Jews. We don't play.
What about... that's not true.
Of course it is.
It's not true.
Don't
my
be ridiculous.
My boyfriend's Jewish. He loves poker.
Well, anyway, he's probably smokes pot too. There's that group. Do you know what I mean?
There's different Jews.
There's different types of Jews. I don't know those ones. You know what I mean? Those are not my.
Yeah. So wait a minute though. What about at like your home environment, right? Mm-hmm. So were your older siblings? They were probably telling dirty jokes or talking out of school.
Nope.
Okay, who taught you to swear?
I was outside a lot, and I would go to other people's houses. I would hang out outside. I would hang out with, you know, just anybody. I mean. I started swearing really young, and when I would learn a new swear word, I would skip down the street singing it. I was like alone a lot, as it turns out. And I was always like, literally, it was like the best day of my life, and I was untouchable. You know what I mean? I felt like I was on top of the world. And to this day, I've created my own swear words, and when people go, "Oh my God, that was amazing!" Then they repeat it back to me after shows and stuff, and I'm like, "Yeah, I made it up."
What would be an example of something you made
up? Like clit mouth.
Clit. Wait, clip mouse or clip mouth?
Clip mouth.
Oh, God.
I said it on stage one night in an open mic and like, you know, obviously like 30 years ago. And the comics were like everybody fell out. It was just like, and I went, you know what? I think I'm a genius.
Yeah. You know, you have so much, you have such a huge comedy background. Do you still do open mics?
I do.
Yeah. You got to.
I do. I go up, I mean, not just anyone, although I've tried. When I came back from London, I was like, oh, I got to get back out there again and do this, you know. And so, because I wasn't aware of what the good ones were.
Yeah.
And so I would just go to the ones nearby or the ones I used to go to. And sickening. I mean, just like some places, you know, because there's like seven people who are all cocksuckers just sitting there, you know, with their thumbs inside themselves, you know, and
if you walk into a room with a bad vibe and it's bad when it starts, it doesn't get any better. It's not going
to
get better.
And even if you're in the greatest space and you talk to people and they don't respond, then you're like, okay, this is also not going to work out for me.
Do you call people out or not? Comics, like, okay, so like for people out there that don't know, during an open mic, the only people else in the room are other comics generally.
Yeah.
And a lot of comics can be just horrible people, like staring at their phone the whole time you're talking.
I absolutely call them out.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So when they're doing that, it's what's frustrating about it is because their name's going to be called in just a second. And then when they're on stage, you'd never do that to them.
Nope. And that's my problem, though, is that I think that is literally my issue, is all I do is, like, I'm always so supportive of other people when it's time for my turn.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh Christ.
Yeah.
I wasn't prepared.
Yeah.
Again,
yeah.
Still unprepared.
Because, well, you have to be, like, half
and
half.
And I am half and half, but I need to be more of the other half.
Yeah.
And
Not so generous.
Yeah, not so generous. But that's also, like, me kind of still being me, unprepared for life, like literally living life by the seat of my pants, not making sure I do well, not making sure I'm ready to do well. And again, you know, because sometimes I've lived life where I succeed by accident, if I succeed at all, which I really haven't. I mean, I've had very few successes in my life.
I know
life.
What you mean.
And so, and it's been, you know, I'll have like that one charmed moment, like, just for example, the first time I realized that I didn't need to prepare ever again was when I was like I was 7 years old and I had been taking piano lessons, and not because I wanted to. I mean, I'm not a musician at all. Mm-hmm. And we were forced to because there was a piano. You know what I mean? So it's like, okay, sit at it. And then this woman came in, Mrs. Schultz or Horowitz. I can't remember anyway, but she had great fingernails. Anyway, but I would just watch her play. I would just watch her fingers and then look at my friend Barbara waiting for me to play outside. And that was it. And I never, ever, ever, ever learned to play anything. Okay. And this went on
she didn't make you play at all?
I think she did, but I would just like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You do it in the moment, but you're like, you know, she basically lifted my fingers. I mean, I don't want to use the word retarded because that's not a term now. So I'll say really, really challenged in the brain. Yeah. And so, and then it was time for but then you got to have this recital. It's recital day, everybody. And I got a new dress and was like, oh my God, I am a stunner. You know, I was so excited about my little white dress with flowers on it, halter top, you know, and the leather sandals with the head jingles on them. And I was like, oh my God. This is the best day ever. You know, I think I was even showered. I'm not even sure, but I might have showered. Didn't happen a lot. But anyway, so I went to do this, you know, recital. And it was in the field house at the park. there's all these people in there, like 70 people in there, right? And people were, you know, kids were going up and like, dee-lee-lee, you know, playing the piano. They were killing it.
Some kids are crazy good on the piano, and they're tiny.
It was unbelievable. And people were just doing fine. And applause, applause, applause. You know, then it was my turn. So then I go up, jingle, jingle, with my little sandals on. And I go up and I sit down. And I look down at the piano and, you know, and the audience is there. And it's all really awesome. And I felt great. And then I realized, you know, I had nothing to play at all. Like nothing. Nothing, not a goddamn key. And so then I just looked out at the audience and I smiled like this, like, you know, like little dingleberry smile, and the whole place burst out laughing. And I was like, okay, great. That was like my first laugh from a nice sized crowd. So I was like,
then you walked off stage.
Yeah, I did. Of course, what was I going to do? Like stay there and do more? There was no more to do. I did everything I could.
That is so funny. Did either of your parents come to that?
I think they were there.
Yeah.
I don't think they were there. My mother might have been there. But to be honest, I think she was there. shoot, you know, I had done tons of stuff, but they never,
yeah.
I mean, I know, my because, whole life.
Because as the fifth, sixth child, they did it before. Are there any pictures of you as a child?
You know, it's funny you say that. I have like one or two.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And where there's like tons of everybody else. But my parents said,
well, Cynthia, there was a flood and your photos happened to be in the basement. Just yours. I don't know what happened. You know?
So
did
like,
they really? Did your mom really
said?
Tell you that?
Yeah.
Okay, one time, I always give my mom a hard time because there's no photos of me either.
Did you have a flood?
There was no flood. There was just, they ran out of film. And I always tell my mom that. So one time when I first moved out to LA, she sends me a picture and it's a little black and white photo uh-huh. of a little girl on a tricycle.
Uh-huh.
And on the back, there's a piece of masking tape and it says Chrissy, 1972, which puts me at like 5 or 6.
Right.
And I peel back the masking tape, and it says Lisa, 1962. She thought I wouldn't peel back the masking tape. It was my sister.
I
know.
Well, okay, great. So to match that story, my little brother, there was the one picture of me that we had at a certain age, which was, it was 1 year old.
Yeah. Made it out of the flood.
Yeah. And I was the only one I'd seen of myself. So I didn't really know what I looked like, but I saw this picture. And when I showed it to my mother, everybody, my brothers and sisters were there. This was like very recently, like my last visit.
Oh, Cynthia, that's not you. That's Jordan.
And then my sister's like, it's Jordan. It's Jordan. And I'm like, no, it's me. I'm in a goddamn dress. Jordan's not in a dress. You know what I mean? It was like, I go, it's me. It's the only picture of me. It's me. Like, it's really funny how they didn't even want that one to be me.
It is you.
We wanted no photos of you. How did you find that? That's ridiculous. That's not you. That's your brother.
It has to be you, though, because it is a dress.
It's me.
I can't believe they won't let you have that.
I know my face,
too. Why won't they let you have that? Your parent, your family, that's hilarious. That is so funny.
It was an argument, like a really...
But I do know, I know exactly what you mean, though. Also, when you said something about I may have been showered and maybe not or something, I never took a bath when I was little either because nobody asked me. Nobody told me to.
Yeah.
So I just didn't.
No, 4 months at a time, filthy, dirty. And my friend told me.
I wouldn't brush my teeth either.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Well, that I did because I don't know what it was. I got because interested in it. And I'm not saying I did that always or forever, but I remember I went through phases of doing it.
Yeah.
But years later, I mean, because I was told by a boyfriend later on, he goes, you had terrible breath, terrible. And of course, he had to be really outgoing that one. But anyway, but my friend Debbie had told me, like, we were in our 20s at this point, and she was my best friend growing up, you know, one of them. She said, she goes, God, Cynthia, she goes, you always smelled, you know?
She goes,
you
know, she told you that.
And I never knew that. See, this was me before. I was just only getting new information about my childhood and because I blacked it out, most of it. So her saying that was sort of validating some of the things that I was having memories about, which was not being showered for 4 months at a time and like being total neglect, you know. And then, you know, there's so much more and it's not
worth talking
about. Did you
have a bedroom?
With my sister. So at first I shared with... It's three of us, and then it was two, me and my sister Jackie.
Right.
And then...
Then they all leave.
Yeah.
And then
But then I think by that time, I was college time. So I might have had... I stayed in my sister's room, but that was like... I think I had already moved out and came back from college. And if I came back from college, because they turned my bedroom into a... Who knows? Doesn't matter. Yeah. I'd stayed in there. And then...
Well, I have so much I want to talk to you about, but we want to get your story. But one more thing. So you're kind of like you're saying, you've lived in all these different cities and you're kind of wander as an adult. If you had like, let's just for fun, all the money in the world, would that change that lifestyle, do you think?
If I had all the money in the world, would it change which lifestyle?
Not all the money in the world. Let's say somebody gave you $3 million. Uh-huh. That would impact your life.
Uh-huh.
Would it change your lifestyle instead of like...
$20,000 would impact my life.
I know. Yeah, okay. $400. No, I hear you, but I'm saying if you had like a drop of money, serious drop of money, would it stop you from like, I go to New York. Oh, I want to go to London. I'll go over there. No, I'll go here. Would you be more like a more grounded, more like, okay, I'm going to get a house and then I'm going to have to get a gardener, which is fair.
Uh-huh.
And then I'll have probably get somebody to live in the back house. And then I'll just kind of like, I'll have a pool to be a pool guy.
Right.
And I'm, you know.
Yeah. I wouldn't have anybody in the back house.
What would you do more? Yeah, but I'm just thinking of like in LA, I'm thinking of how
I'm
things
with
go.
You. Yes,
but would you be more grounded?
Yeah,
not grounded. You're very grounded. I just mean to say
no,
like
I appreciate
more
that. It's
settled.
Okay. No, I'm with you.
Something.
I think only to this time that I've come back. Now I've been back now 3 years almost. And from London. And I think that this is the first time that I actually want to be here.
Oh, good.
I really hated it here. And I used to get in fights with Brody Stevens, of all people, about, like, you know, because I used to hate L.A. And I mean, not even giving a shit that he grew up here. I don't even think I even knew that.
Yeah.
You
can hate the 818.
Right? But I just, you know, I just hated, you know, but you know, again, if you're miserable, everything is going to be that much magnified, and you're going to blame your city. You know, why not? Right. But I do blame it still. But anyway, no. But the thing is that so point being is that I'm back here now, and I have literally been thinking about, whereas before I used to think the only place I would live out here would be Beverly Glen, because I had one good experience up there after I was being beaten. You know, I almost, when I got rid of the guy finally, my friend Rusty had me stay up with her in Virginia Madsen's house up in the hills there in Beverly Glen.
It's so beautiful. It's one of those canyon.
It is. It's beautiful.
Roads. Yeah.
And I would look out, I was sleeping in a 4-poster bed. You know, I had black eyes and choking marks, and I'm laying in this 4-poster bed.
I thought that guy was in Chicago, though.
We moved here together.
He came out with you.
Yes, we drove my van. And there was no real relationship. It was not a relationship, but... So I was like sleeping in this 4-poster bed, looking out into like trees and stuff. And it was like, oh my God, this is okay.
It's
like,
possible.
It's possible. This is okay.
Yeah.
And also there's like that little mall up at the top of Beverly Glen where there's like that sushi restaurant and there's like and it felt like a small town. And I really am drawn to small towns.
Yeah,
I really
like by Mulholland up there.
Yeah. So I guess. I guess it is. Yeah. And I've never go to the other side. It's illegal. Yeah. And I'm just kidding. I don't even know what I'm talking about. But anyway, but I liked that whole feeling, and it felt safe, you know, and I did feel safe for the first time, you know. And so I was up there for 5 days only, but, you know, 5 days of safety, not so bad.
Sure.
Anyway, point being is that I was just thinking the other day that I'm like, I want, you know how you talk about, I don't know, you talk, one talks about, you know, like, I don't know if you know Esther Hicks, but she talks about like the universe and like about how it's unlimited and that you need to visualize more of what you want and less about what you have. And so, you know, because you'll just get more of what you have as opposed to what you really want. And so it's about seeing that, feeling it, you know, looking at pictures, doing things like that to get your brain into a better space, into a space of more and possibility, you know, that kind of thing. And so I literally started to look at like houses, and I felt more open to different areas. I mean, I would even, I still have a resistance towards being so far away from the ocean. I don't even like the ocean, but I just like water.
Yeah.
So anyway, I know this sounds like I'm really, this is way
too
long.
Soothing. Water is very, very soothing.
I don't like the ocean because it scares me, because I will die in there. You know what I mean?
You think so?
Well, sure. There's sharks and, you know, and those waves are really dangerous, you know. So it's like, it's there to kill you, really.
But the sea air, even if you don't go in the water, it's supposed to be very, has a lot of health benefits.
I'm sure it does. Yeah. I used to live there for 3 years. I lived half a block from the ocean in Venice.
Oh, I didn't know
that. On Rose,
yeah.
And that was good. I used to force myself to look at the water. Look at it. It's beautiful. Just look at it. Because that's how my dad made us look at nature. Look at it. It's beautiful. Just look out the window. God damn it. You're like, oh my God, it's beautiful. Yes. Yes, darling. So, yeah, but
I'm trying
to commit, imagine settling in a house and having a chef. I really want a chef. That
would be
my
wonderful
first purchase.
I know what you mean. I agree. I also would like a masseuse, but I think a chef first, or a driver. A driver would be nice. But then again, you could just lift everywhere.
I don't need that shit. I just want a chef.
What about, though, the idea of nature in Los Angeles? I mean, that's so soothing
Where
to
is
me.
It?
Nature.
Where is it?
Griffith Park.
Oh, right.
I mean, you live right
I do.
Griffith
I live a block
Park,
away.
And so do I. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I chose this area, because I really do love that park.
I like it, except there's these tiny black bugs that really, like, they just circle me. I'll go up there with a friend.
Yeah.
And they'll be completely, no bugs. Me? They're like circling me like Linus. They're like, what in the fuck is going on? I'm like, I don't know.
It wasn't Linus. It was Pigpen.
Pigpen. I'm Pigpen because, you know, it's like my childhood. People, like, I have my school photograph is people leaning backwards away from me.
Could get, like, one of those bee nets or something. Like a net that you'd walk into a beehive. I'm thinking to go up to the park.
Oh, sure, that'd be wonderful. How pleasant.
One more thing, we're going to get to your story regarding the cheating, because you're going to be talking about cheating through school.
Yeah.
I remember in college, I bought this Spanish book that was like $70. It was very expensive at the time because it had all the exercises filled in.
Oh.
Like, it had everything was done in it. So I'm like, well, that's fucking totally worth it.
That's hilarious.
And then when I sold it for $70 as well, or whatever. So it was just kind of one of those.
Did you learn Spanish?
It was just kind of, oh, sí, un poco. A little. I know a little. because I took it out here a couple of times. I mean, I've always been trying to learn Spanish.
Uh-huh.
Ayúdame, ayúdame.
I don't even know what that means.
Pero es muy difícil para mi hija.
Difícil, I thought that was French.
No, that's difficult in Spanish.
Is it? Difícil is also French.
Okay,
difícil.
Well then maybe I'm, you know, s'il vous plaît. I don't
oui.
know. Maybe.
No.
Do you know French?
Un peu.
That's a beautiful language.
Oui, je parle français.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, très bien.
Oh, très oui, bien oui. indeed.
Yeah.
Ooh, bonjour.
Bonjour, baby.
All right, listen, you guys, before we get to Cynthia's story, I did want to remind you to follow me on Twitter and Instagram. You know that, at Storyworthy, of course. And here's something I never tell you to do, and I'm going to tell you to do it right now. Go ahead to ChristineBlackburn.com. Just do it. Go to ChristineBlackburn.com. It's
What's
just
on there?
Well, my podcast.
Okay.
My game show.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
I now speak at events. I don't know if you knew that.
No,
so
I didn't.
There's some of that going on.
That's so great.
I speak
Christine.
About storytelling.
Uh-huh.
I speak about podcasting.
Wow.
I speak about the marijuana.
Oh, well, what do you love it?
I do love it, but yeah. I don't speak
doesn't
about
work
it.
For
I'd
me.
Like to though.
Yeah.
It doesn't?
No.
That's too bad.
Yeah, I can't deal. It makes me dark. You think I need more darkness?
No.
No.
Maybe you need a bit sativa.
Who's that?
Well, that's a type. Don't worry about it. Listen, you guys, and also head over to storyworthypodcast.com because that's where you'll find my mailing list, and that's where I really want to grab you. No, I send out a very sweet note once a week. It's no big deal, no harm, no foul. It's very sweet. Join my mailing list. I would appreciate it.
Great.
All right, you guys, she's here right now. You've heard her talking. Cynthia Levin. She is a comedian and a writer and a director and a producer. And you have done all the comedy gigs here in L.A., the Comedy Store, the Laugh Factory, the Improv.
Yeah.
You've just done everything out here, it seems.
Mostly everything.
What's your favorite club?
I really enjoy going to the Improv, to be honest. I really, I feel, that was the first club that took me in as a new face.
No kidding.
So I'd only been doing stand-up 2 years, and Mark Lanau.
I always said Lanau.
I know, but I don't know which is which, but yeah. I'm going to go Lanau. Yeah, my mother, just real quickly, during those days, I was talking about, I don't know, doing a set or doing something, and my mother goes, wait, no, I forgot. So Mark Lanau and the other, and his partner, Bud Friedman. So I was talking about something about it, you know, and my mother like turns around all of a sudden like I exist and she goes, who's that, Friedman? I mean, she lives in Chicago. She doesn't know anything about anything, but all of a sudden like I hear from like the tomb, who's that, Friedman?
Yeah, like Bud Friedman is on the phone with you. Oh my gosh, she is such a character.
I know, it really, but like to this day, it's like one of my favorite sentences out of her mouth.
That
but
is
anyway,
a
and there's some good sentences.
My mother has some good sentences.
Does she?
As well. Yeah, yeah, she likes to talk about the feds. Because if the feds come around, well, Cynthia, you don't know what they'll do. Because the feds could cut this or cut that, you don't know.
Wow.
And like you said, you have lived in all these different cities, which I think is very interesting.
Yeah.
And you've taught a lot of acting classes,
yeah.
mainly with the Meisner method.
No. So the last 6 years I've been teaching for Anthony Mindel Actors Workshop, and I just quit, actually.
Are you cheating on Meisner method?
I still love it. Oh. I think it's wonderful. But I taught that for years. I taught to comedians.
Interesting.
Yeah, mostly comedians. And I loved it. And
yeah.
I think it's a wonderful, I do. But I've learned a lot since then as well. And I think that as the universe evolves, as people evolve, there's just more information and there's more, there's just other ways of being and feeling and, you know.
No, it's interesting. I hear you. And you can find you over there on Twitter at She Seems Nice. That's a funny Twitter handle. She Seems Nice.
Yeah, that comes from a friend of mine.
And then on Instagram, you're at straight Cynthia Levin 7.
Yeah.
Somebody already had Cynthia Levin.
Exactly.
I
guess there was six of us, I guess.
I hate all of them.
7 was my lucky number. I don't think there's actually 7 of us, but I just like 7. Everybody
seven
likes the number 7.
Lucky number because my birthday is the 7th.
And
so
I'm on the 8th.
Oh, interesting.
Which is why it's not my lucky number.
Interesting. All right, you guys, whoever you are, put your hands together for Cynthia Levin.
Yay. I can hear the clapping. So, let's see. Well, we've already talked about my sickening childhood. I'm just kidding. It was really awesome. And but I blocked it out. But it was really good. But anyway, moving forward. So what happened was I think I was sort of floating around. I think I've been floating since I was 4 years old. Just like floating in the sense of like not being grounded, not feeling like somebody, we got you. You know what I mean? And so I would go to school and, you know, you just sort of know you're supposed to go to school. But you know what I mean? I was always late. I never had books in my hands. I just kind of showed up. The door would close in front of me, you know. Yeah. I'd be like, oh, Christ. Yeah. Knock, knock. You know, I'd get back in there. And while I was in school, I really wasn't present. And so then it would be test day. And I was like, oh, why didn't anybody say anything? Which is sort of my line of my entire life. Why didn't anybody say anything? You know, like never knew what was going on. Wait, where are you guys going? You know, like never knew. So when it came test day in school, I had to cheat because it was a survivalist. And I certainly didn't want ever my parents to know that. I think I didn't want them to know anything about me, which they didn't. It worked out. And so test day, I was an actress. Always an actress, you know. And so I was really good at pretending like I was working and, you know, taking a test. And so I was just like, I would look at like, you know, look like, oh, wow, this is so hard. Put my hand over my forehead. God, this is really difficult. And then I'd be peering over at the smart person that I chose to sit near on purpose, you know.
Of course.
And copy them. And it was funny because I made it through school. I would get, you know, I mean, I literally, you know, I mean, I didn't do, I was getting thrown out typically because I was talking and this and that, but, you know, I cheated on every test and I would always like do okay because I cheated. I never, ever, ever took a test by myself in my entire life.
What about like papers, if you had to write a paper?
I didn't. I mean, no, I just didn't.
Would you just plagiarize it or?
No, I did plagiarize one thing. Butterflies are free to fly, fly away, bye bye. I wrote that one time. Turned out they said that was not, that's from a song. Sit down. I'm like, wait, what are you talking about?
You're talking about butterflies are free.
I think it's Elton John. And because we had to make a butterfly in second grade. And so, you know, I didn't copy the butterfly. I just like made some dumb butterfly like everybody else was doing. You know how you fold the paper and then it's got the wings on it. And anyway, it doesn't matter. But inside, we were supposed to write a poem. And so I wrote, butterflies are free to fly, fly away, bye-bye. And the teacher was like, Cynthia. And I'm like, oh, I exist. Hang on a second, everybody. Shh. Yes? It's like, wait, what? Somebody's talking to me. This is unbelievable, you know? So it was attention, you know? Yeah. And so you're like, it's a gift. And so it was like almost like a great mistake. It was like great. I mean, because I didn't know you were, I mean, you know, I literally, nobody spoke to me. That's what I felt. And which the truth was, I don't think people did, you know, because it was like either that or I was deaf. Do you know what I'm saying? There's like, and I think I'm not deaf, you know? So anyway, point is that all the way through school, I cheated. And
wait, did the teacher say to you, is this an Elton John song?
She said, you plagiarized, which is a word I thought, that's a crazy word. And wow. I was like, huh? You know? And she's like, and she was kind of serious. And she's like, this is illegal. And I was like, huh? You know? And I was like, okay. Like, I didn't give a fuck. I mean, really, I was just like, okay. But I thought it was interesting moment, like to be paid, somebody paid attention to me and they seemed serious about it. And then I just kind of got on with my life. But, you know, obviously I remember it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Cause somebody called you out.
Yeah.
I remember moments like that. Yeah. I know what you mean.
Yeah. Because I'm used to just getting thrown out. I mean, just like get out.
Or just ignored.
Ignored or thrown out of the room. So I was literally spent most of my school in the hallway
watching people learn. Why would they throw you out though? Because you were being disruptive or you weren't paying attention?
Being disruptive. I would do like bird noises, like, you know, while people are like, what the? And what is that? Who's doing that?
You're pretty good.
Who is that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just like, I was just trying to like get laughs. Be liked, you know, like that kind of stuff.
Get
just
a reaction.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you know, as a kid, you're just sort of like fucking around. And to make people laugh, like there was no, it was like a greatest high in the world. So you would just seek that. That's literally, that was what I was chasing.
Yeah,
you know?
It's a lot of power.
I guess so. I mean, not that it's fun. It's fun.
Right.
And so, and so like that was fun. That was good. Anyway, but the point being is like, through my whole life, I never did. I had, you know, you have to keep taking tests throughout your life, right? You know, to get into college, you have to take a test, right? So you have to take that SAT test. So of course, I know nothing. Like my brain is completely empty. Never zero information in there, except for butterflies are free to fly, fly away, bye-bye. That's pretty much the only one I knew. And so I, So now I had to take a test. But again, I'm like the survivalist. Like, I somehow would be a planner in that way, because I sat diagonal behind Philip Goldstein. We unfortunately had a very large nose, and it like cast a shadow over the test. So it really, it helped enough that I got into phys ed. I get an under phys ed. The SAT, I guess it was. And I got just a good enough score to like 21. Does that make sense?
Is
that
Or
is it the ACT?
You might have been on the ACT.
It was the ACT. I didn't take the SAT.
Yeah, that goes like to 1400 or something. So wait, you cheated on the SAT?
On the ACT.
Yeah, on the ACT. Interesting.
Yeah.
Because that's when you're 17 years old.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 18, yeah.
Yeah.
And wow.
Yeah.
Because I remember like during the SAT, they sat us such that, you know, you couldn't cheat because you had different tests.
Yeah. Well, they sat, I mean, me too, but yeah. I worked it out.
Wow.
Yeah. I sat diagonal behind. I did everything I could to see what I could see. And of course, you get mad at the person. I mean, it wasn't his nose. It was his arm. It was trying to block it. It was sort of a joke, obviously, but comedy to me. And, but... Because he did have the biggest nose in the school.
Yeah.
Sorry, Philip. He's a good guy. But anyway, But I cheated and I ended up getting in under phys ed. And now
I mean that was your major?
Yeah.
Your major was
in college phys ed.
Phys ed.
Yeah, because I did audition for the theater department, but I didn't get in because I was still drunk and high when I arrived at the audition.
Completely
unprepared already anyway, because I was doing Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? I was doing the part of... what's her name? Why can't I think of her name? I know this play so well. Anyway.
Blanche?
No. Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? So,
Virginia?
No, it's not her name. I can't believe I can't think of it.
Betty?
No, doesn't matter. But Elizabeth Taylor played her. And,
yeah.
And she was in her, she was supposed to be 50 or something like that.
Yeah.
50-year-old woman.
Of course, yeah.
So I was 17 when I auditioned, okay? And somebody suggested this piece to me. And I was like, okay, sure. You know, and... And I guess I can't remember her name because I couldn't remember it at the audition either. They go, okay, so, and I'd been throwing up the entire day, but throwing up nothing because I'd already throw up so much throughout the
From
night.
From drinking, yeah.
Drinking and bonging with my sister and her friends. You know, I was at the college.
I'm at the University of Illinois.
This is so exciting.
Yeah.
Let's go out. You know, like, and then, so I was up all night, fucked up.
Yeah.
I mean, fucked up. I would like, we were at all different places, bars, then we went to a frat house and. Anyway, I'm getting nauseous thinking about it.
And mixing drinks, yeah, it's
gross. Yeah. So we were doing bongs and drinking out of the keg, and then I would go to the bathroom, vomit it all up, and come back and take another hit. You know what I mean? It was very busy that night. And so then the next morning, I was supposed to be there at 9 a.m., and then, like, they put everybody in a circle, right? And they were like, there's like 75 of us or something, maybe. I mean, a lot of people in this room. And we're in this giant circle in this giant room. And we're going around and having to say your name, you know, which to me felt like, oh my God, you got to be shitting me. What? Wait, what are we doing? What do you mean? Why didn't anybody tell me? And so when it finally came to me, you can imagine one person after another person, your anxiety is rising. Like, when's it my fucking turn? You know, it finally gets to me and I just go, Cynthia Levin! Like, it came out of my mouth like a giant fart that could not wait to get out. It was like, you know, like I ate a bag of beans. It was so extreme that everybody looked at me like, huh? Like, she's nuts. Like, really, like, everybody looked at me.
Yeah.
So now, we have to walk to another building and do this audition at the Krannert Center, which is like, it's the theater department.
Sure.
And it's respected. And I am not here right now. You know what I mean? And so I spent the entire audition. We're in a room with all these people and all the auditioners. All the kids were like, you know, there with their parents were there in the room. Parents? Wait, what?
Yeah.
They were like combing the kids' hair. I'm not shitting you. Kids are practicing. Mommy, I love you. Mommy, and singing. I'm like, wait, what? Who's singing? You know, like.
You can't cheat here.
You can't cheat here. And so then, anyway, it was my turn. And this is not even the story I was going to tell you, but this is the point. It was my turn. And there was 10 people lined up and we're watching each other audition. And in between everybody's audition, I would go out and spit up. I mean, because there was nothing
dry
in there.
Heaves,
I was horrible.
So gross.
And then I'd come back into the room as if nobody noticed. Do you know what I'm saying? That's how unconscious I was, right? And again, 75 people later, you know what I mean, or whatever it was, 50 people later, it's my turn. And I get up there and they go, and they'd all seen me get up and go, because we're all in the same room. Do you see? It's like, it's not like I'm backstage. There is no backstage.
Right.
So then it's my turn and I go, and they go, well, hello, you know, what's your name? I'm like, Alabama. you know, and I go, all right, well, what are you going to do? And this guy, David Knight, he was the head of the theater department. He talked like this.
Yeah.
Yes. And I thought he was English. It turned out he's from Illinois, but this is what the theater does to you, darling. It gives you an accent. And so he goes, what were you doing for us, darling? You know, and I go, he goes, oh, that's all right. what play is it from? And I was like, couldn't think of a goddamn thing. What role are you playing? I'm like, nothing. Couldn't think of a goddamn thing. Finally, it was like, he's like, oh, that's all right, I'm just going to go and do it. You know? So I stood there. I had nothing again.
This is like the piano recital.
I know, except nobody's laughing. And I'm sick. I'm fucked. My brain is just filled with jelly. You know, jello is nasty. And then I go, and then I start the monologue in the middle. And I just go, Daddy, pink eyes. Daddy, pink eyes. And I started crying. And as it turns out, and I thought I was like, you know, at least I got to the emotional part. Well, as it turned out, and that was the only line I remembered, by the
pink
way.
Eyes.
Daddy, pink eyes. It turns out it's not even in the play, let alone the monologue. And so, like, yeah. But I didn't even look at it until, like, a year ago. And I went, oh, my God, that's not even in there.
So they didn't pick you for the theater department.
Can you believe I didn't get in? So that's why I ended up having to do blah, 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 and didn't get into phys ed. But the David Knight, like, walked me out. He, like, you know, afterwards, he, like, puts his arm around me. He takes me into the hallway, and he puts his arm around me. And he's, like, tall, thin man. He was a lovely guy. And he goes, you know what, darling? He goes, to this day, I still get butterflies in my stomach before a performance. And I'm like, butterflies? Are you shitting me right now? Dude, I have an empty head and I'm fucked up. Like, how intuitive are you, Mr. Master Teacher? You know, like, you know what I mean? It was so funny. But, like, that's... Anyway, so I didn't get in, no. And then, again... So this leads to... So I get into college. You know, I get in under phys ed and I cheat through college. So yeah. Now I'm... I couldn't even find my classes, let alone the buildings. I'm not shitting you.
Yeah.
I couldn't find them. So I didn't go to class. You know, I made it to, like, one of my red class, but I found it later. Like, it took me a long time to, like, I was overwhelmed. I was a 9-year-old. I mean, literally, mentally,
yeah.
A 9-year-old on a college campus.
Where were your siblings? None of them were at the same school?
I think they were. A couple of them were there.
But you were just on your own.
Yeah, I was very separate from my family. Yeah. I was a separate being.
Same parents. And you were all born in a short period of time.
Yeah, 8.5 years. Six kids in 8.5 years. Yeah.
Yeah, wow. We were 6 and 10, but wow. Yeah. Six mm-hmm. and 8.5 years.
Yeah, just squirting them out.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. But you got into college and you got through it. Did you get through all 4 years?
No. So by my my first year in college, I barely found my classes. Finally, I did go to my algebra tree class because I knew there was a test and I found out where the building was. I hadn't been to class. Okay. I had not been there yet.
God.
I had never been there. So I had to find the building. Somehow I did. I asked this kid, can you do me a favor? You know, the kid in my dorm room. And I go, can you do me a favor and take this test for me and I'll copy off of you. Right. And it was an algebra trig test.
Yeah.
So he goes, okay. Like, it was like this, and I was like, cool, you know? And I was like, all right, I'm home free, right? And, you know, I knew him in high school, so, like, we knew each other. So, anyway, so we take the test. We go in this giant place where they call it a section. It's, like, where your section, they call it. And it's, like, this giant room, you know, auditorium sorts, but it was, like, circular or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we sit next to each other, like, in the second row, basically. And I just... cheat off of him. He takes a test and somehow we got the same test. And I somehow knew that was what was the situation was going to be. And I copied him. And all of a sudden, about halfway through the test, this woman, teacher, taps him on the shoulder and she said, would you come outside with me to Parrish? And I'm like, you know, I freeze,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know? And mostly because I had nothing else to copy. He's gone now. What am I going to do? You know, I'm kidding. But, he, you know, so she takes him out and... like 5 minutes later, he comes back in and he goes, they told me I was in the wrong section. but don't worry. I just pretended like I was a dumb Indian and I didn't know better. And I go, okay. Like, you know, like what the fuck, right? And so, but then he had to like kind of gather his stuff. But I was already like, you know, I think I was 3/4 of the way through of the test actually. And so then the last quarter, I just had to fucking,
yeah.
you know, wing it. And you know, it was kind of wild. So then cut to cut to Christmas break. I'm at home and, you know, celebrating Hanukkah with the family. Boy, do we know how to have a good time. And spinning dreidels, eating potato pancakes, latkes, you know, just like being miserable Jews, you know. And the phone rings, so I cannot wait to leave the party. Yeah. And I go run in the kitchen and I answer the phone. And it was Parrish. And he goes, "Hi, Cynthia." And, you know, he's never called me before, you know. So I'm like, "Hey, Parrish." He's like, "Hey, I just wanted to tell you what happened." I'm like, "Oh, okay." You know, and he goes, "I got called into the dean's office and they were going to kick me out of school, right? But I convinced them just to fail me and to take away my grade point average."
Wait a minute. How did he get caught?
Well, because that woman had called him out and he, you know.
But I thought it was just about he was in the wrong section.
No, they knew. They knew. He was in there to help me cheat. They probably looked at our tests. I was like, you know.
Wow.
I mean, to this day, I haven't looked into it, let's be honest. And but that's what. Listen, I have other shit to deal with, okay?
Well, we do fact check for that story, so I'm just.
Yeah, that's funny. But no, so basically he said, he goes, "I got called into the dean's office." He goes, "They threatened to, they threatened to kick me out of school, but I convinced them just to take away my grade point average." And he was a 4.0 pre-med student. And then he goes, "And they were going to kick you out of school too, but I convinced them just to fail you." Right?
Oh my God.
So this is my response. "Oh, okay. Thank you." Hanging up the phone. Go back into the frolicking in the living room with the family and the ha-ha-ing all over the place. So that was, you know, now done. So to me, done. I have moved on. My parents don't know, blah, blah, blah. Fine, right? So I failed. I would have failed anyway, right? No big deal. I don't think anything of it. 20 years later, okay? I quit school, by the way, after the second year, you know. I cheated some more. I cheated so well that I ended up getting on the dean's list second year.
Oh, my God.
So, because I learned so much from the first year, right? I got on the dean's list. Can you imagine me getting a letter?
That's hilarious.
In college?
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, I'm like, "Congratulations, you've made the dean's list." I'm like, "Wow, what idiots. Thank you so much. Well done, Cynthia." You know? I mean, it's ridiculous. So then but I quit school after that, thinking I quit while I'm ahead, right? And so we go to my 20-year reunion. And
20-year college reunion?
Yeah, 20-year Why do you 20-year go? No, 20-year high school reunion.
Right.
20-year high school reunion. And I don't know how many years later this is. It's like, you know, whatever that is. So 83, so
yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
20 years later.
Yeah, 20 years, whatever the fuck. I graduated high school in 83, so
me too.
20 years later.
Me too.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. So I go to my reunion, and I'm all dolled up, and my outfit my mother had to buy me, by the way. Right? Because I couldn't afford clothes or the ticket to get home to Chicago or any of it. So I'm wearing this like brown suede, I'm like an American Indian with fringe on it, turquoise buttons, you know. I mean, I'm on fire, you know. I had gone to my friend's house. We picked up, you know, picked up my friend, and, you know, I'm drinking wine, and I'm just, you know, regaling everybody with stories. Hysterical. We go to the reunion, and I'm like, I'm so funny. I get a glass of wine, of course, you know, and then I see Parrish, and he's like, "Hi, Cynthia, hi. I'm like, "Oh, hey, Parrish." Right? I don't know if my insides are like, not really dying to see him right now, yeah. You know, I don't know why. Anyway, he goes, "Can I get you a glass of wine?" I go, "Sure." So now I've got like three, you know. So, you know, so he gets me a glass of wine. And he goes, "Can I talk to you outside for a minute?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah, sure." Anyway, blah, 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 you know, whatever. Ha, 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 drinking, you know, having a laugh. And then he goes, "No, Cynthia, can I talk to you for a minute?" I'm like, "Okay." He goes, and then third time, "Cynthia, I need to talk to you now." And I was like, "Oh, fuck," you know. Because, like, I know what getting in trouble feels like. You know what I mean? I can feel it.
Yeah.
I was ready. So I go out into the hallway with my 17 glasses of wine. And we sit in these, like, giant chairs in the hall, in the mm-hmm. lobby of this hotel or mm-hmm. whatever the hell our thing was. Mm-hmm. And am I going on too long?
No, you're
okay.
Right.
So we go into the lobby. And you know, he's a small fellow. And he sits in a chair. And like I said to you, whenever things start happening in the extreme, I start to see them in animation. So all of a sudden, he turns into this paper doll in a chair. His feet weren't even touching the floor, okay, because he was smaller than me. And it was these giant chairs, you know. And I just saw a paper doll sitting there with his legs swinging, right? Like, that's what I saw. Because I knew, because I couldn't tell, I couldn't handle anything, right? I couldn't handle any truth right now. So then he says to me, he goes, I just wanted to tell you, I needed to talk to you. I just wanted to tell you what happened to me after I got in trouble for cheating on your test, you know, helping you cheat. And I go, okay, you know, a little sip of wine. And he goes, I was kicked out of my house, my parents' house. My family disowned me. I was on the streets. I was homeless. I was homeless for years. Because, like, you know, like, and he goes, and I go, Parrish, what? I go, that's terrible. What, you know, he's like, no, you don't understand. He goes, my parents came here from India to make a better life for my brother and I. They sold everything they had to come here so that they can put us through medical school and we can become doctors and so that we can take care of them in their old age. And I was like, oh, you know. And he goes, so I was homeless for years. He goes, I smelled, my clothes were torn. I was not doing well. And then finally one day some man came over to me and, you know, offered me a job, you know, at this like import-export place, car import-export place. And he goes, and I worked there for years. I was making minimum wage, you know, $10 an hour or whatever it was. And he said, and one day, after working there many years, the owner of the company said to me, how would you like to be part owner of this company? And I said, yeah, I'd love to, but I don't have any money. He goes, I'm dying right now. He's like, I have no money. You know, he's like, has a family at this point. And the guy goes, well, that's okay. He goes, what if I give you money, you know, give you $10,000 and you can be part owner of the company? And Parrish is like, that would be amazing. So the guy, you know, he goes, but he didn't give me $10,000. He gave me the company. And now I'm a millionaire. So if there's anything I can do for you. I was like, well, I do have this script. I'm really trying to.
Are you kidding me?
You're in it. No, I'm totally serious. Word for word.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So now he owns that company?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so funny.
Yeah. And he said, no, I just want you to know. I wanted to tell you this. I've always wanted to tell you what happened to me. He goes, because to be honest, he said, if I was to go the route of my parents, he goes, I would never have as much money as I do now. And I would never have been able to take care of them the way I can now.
Wow. That's crazy.
Isn't it? So I really did a really good thing. No,
I'm kidding. So, you know, that is just so funny. Oh, my gosh. You're the one who cheated.
Yeah,
and
totally. Yeah. But meanwhile, you know, because he's a good person.
Yeah.
At the expense of self, though, because we all often go to the extreme, right?
Yeah.
The opposite. We, like, do whatever extreme, you know, it's because we don't want to be like the other extreme. So we go to the other, you know. And he was such a nice person, and it ended up being at the expense of himself, you know, but it ended ultimately being, you know, obviously the owner of the company probably saw his kind, you know, he's a good person.
Yeah. I don't understand the why wouldn't he say she cheated off me? I didn't know she was cheating.
Oh, I don't think he would lie.
Yeah.
I don't.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm sure they knew. I mean, there's just no, you know, there was just, like, we're idiots, you know, people know.
Do you ever think that you should have gotten the whole degree or you don't care? It didn't matter.
What?
Whole college degree didn't matter.
My God, are you kidding me?
I know.
I literally didn't do anything the entire time I was there.
Yeah, I know. I cheated the whole way through. I only got through because I knew, like, my siblings got through. So I knew to get through, but I did the same thing. I cheated. I would write my papers by plagiarizing old papers, you know, whatever. It was terrible.
Right. Yeah.
It was terrible.
Yeah. I wouldn't even go to that trouble. I mean, I would not.
You wouldn't
do
go to the
anything.
Class. Yeah.
I wouldn't do anything.
Yeah.
And I cheated well in phys ed. I was able to do, like, I cheat off of, like, what, these dumbass fucking bodybuilders and, I mean, like, these not athletes. That's who I was in class with. Like, dumbass. It was harder to cheat in there. The fact that I got on the dean's list is amazing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's really funny. I wonder what your schedule was. Probably mostly
once a week in class. I think I was in. I would go to my. I took horseback riding.
Yeah.
I took basketball.
Yeah.
I had to do a physiology class.
Was it a state school, by the way?
No, University of Illinois. It's a Big Ten school.
Wow. Who paid for that education?
My parents.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, that was lucky. At least they did that.
Well, they made me go. I didn't want to go.
Yeah.
I was trying to stay in Chicago and be a part of All You Can Eat in the Temple of Doom, this improv troupe from Second City that I was part of, and then that became huge.
And then you did go back there.
I did go back to Chicago after 2 years, but that group was dissolving, and I mean...
It's just so interesting how, you know, obviously we look back, and the path that life takes us, it's, you know, just like that guy said to you. I mean, you know, he got kicked out of school. You'd think his life would be over, and then it took
this
other...
Well, he didn't get kicked out of school. He stayed in school, but he got kicked out of his family. They disowned him.
Oh, my God. God, yeah. Cynthia, you ruined a family.
I did.
But then later he got the company, took care of his family.
He did. And then, of course, I was like, he's like, is there anything I can do for you? I'm like, well, you know, actually, I'm still fucked up. I don't have anything still. Can you believe it? This outfit my mother bought me. I'm 35. Can we talk? You know, like.
Are you in Parish Friends on Facebook? Mm-hmm. That's good. That's cool.
Yeah.
Does he still live in Chicago?
He does. Cool. And he has a family and he's doing well. And his kids are like, one thing, his daughter just got married. And you know what I mean? Like, they're beautiful. And,
well, you know. I'm glad you're happy now in Los Angeles because, you know, you just, to me, you seem like an LA person.
Ooh.
Very creative.
Interesting.
Well, you are creative, but I guess you're saying you'd rather be with Four Seasons and be creative in that atmosphere.
Well, I know, I'm okay. I mean, I am okay. I'm, and I say the thing about LA is because of the creativity here. I do think that there's a lot of creativity here and openness here, and I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, you can be anybody you want,
And I'm grateful for that.
Yeah.
You know, and... I could still go travel and, you know, look at things that are green. They're all in Chicago.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. So that's like my family in Pittsburgh. Yeah. Same idea.
Yeah.
I get it. We have a lot in common.
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
One more thing. We got to wrap it up. Mm-hmm. Here's something else I know that we have in common is that where we both cheated in school, where we didn't, is when we had to take a real estate exam, right?
Yes.
Because I sold real estate for a couple
of
years
in
Pittsburgh.
Of course you did.
And when I sold real estate, I had to study for that exam and I passed it the first time through, which was quite hard to do.
Yes.
And because I wanted to.
Yes.
But then I never.
Isn't that so funny?
Yeah, look at that. If I want to do it, I can actually accomplish.
Wow. Amazing. That was a big deal to find that out, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was really cool.
Yeah. Because when I moved back to Chicago, it was before I moved to London. I left here because I really didn't. And I went back to Chicago in 2010 and I thought, well, I don't want to travel around as a comic necessarily, you know? And I was like, so what can I do? And so I got it. And I love Chicago architecture.
Yeah.
And my friend was doing real estate. My one friend that was still there.
So then you thought,
and so I thought, yeah. And the company was this Irish company. I have addiction. I still do to Irish things. Mm-hmm. And so, Conlon, whatever. Anyway, so, but I took the test and I failed the first time, of course, because why wouldn't I?
Yeah.
But I took it again and I passed. Yeah. And it was the first time in my life. And I was, what was I? I don't
proud
even know.
Proud of yourself.
But I was like 48 years old. It was the first time in my life that I ever passed a test on my own in my entire life.
Yeah. I understand. No, I totally get it. I do. I don't think we're alone. I think a lot of other people are like that too. Some people are ashamed of it. I just think it's another one of those, you know, flaws that makes you the character and the person you are.
Yeah.
You know, and some people are like learners of the street, and some people are learners in an academic setting.
Right. Yeah.
But I was street. That way too. I'm same thing.
Right.
It's the whole big family from the Midwest, Cynthia. I think that's very much it, honestly.
Yeah.
That's part of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm super happy you came on.
Thanks.
Finally.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It sounds crazy. Yeah. But then you haven't been here. God damn it.
Right. There's that.
That's right. All right, you guys. I got to wrap it up. I want to thank you so much for tuning in today. And thank you so much for checking out my sponsor, Elemis. I really appreciate it, you guys, because when you check out my sponsors, then you are supporting me. Hooray! And also, you guys, don't forget to check out Cynthia Levin over there on Twitter @SheSeemsNice and also on Instagram @CynthiaLevin7. All right, you guys, on behalf, one more time, of the very, very talented Cynthia Levin, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. My name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.